the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Rock of Ages, 243.
Rock of Ages.
My Savior's love.
I stand amazed.
Morning. How marvelous, how wonderful is God's love for us. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for singing from the heart. Prepares us to receive a message with love. Hearty welcome to each one that has come this morning. Those of you that have tuned in live stream, bid you hearty welcome as well to be part of the service, part of this time of worship together. And we are grateful to God that we have this time together to serve Him, to honor and to glorify His name, to experience His love. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was a messenger chosen by God and taught by Christ to lay the foundation of the early church and to be a channel of God's complete revelation. Unlike the other apostles that we read of in the four Gospels, Paul was chosen by the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this letter, Paul again is explaining the doctrine of justification by faith. Some of the Jews were trying to include keeping of the law as part of the Christian doctrine, and Paul really gets down to it. And I want to touch on this part of Paul's letter to the Galatian church in order to prepare us or to get us down, to take us to the next level, to, we might say, the meat of the message. And we see here that Paul is not saying that justification through faith gives the Christian the privilege of sinning without being held responsible for sin. But what he is making clear is that Christianity is a fellowship with the Father provided by his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we might look at the picture and we would say, as Scripture says, living a blameless life. Not a sinless life, but a blameless life. And Paul seeks to expose the error of the Judaizers' goal, if you will, their gospel, and their impure motives. And his ultimate goal is to prevent the readers of the letter from embracing a false gospel, encouraging them to retain their spiritual freedom. We know that in Paul's days, after the churches of Galatia were established, there were teachers of the Jews. They were called Judaizers. They came in after Paul had left, and they were trying to convince the people that have received the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were trying to convince the people that they should still practice the Mosaic laws at the same time as having received Christianity. And he was concerned about that, but what they were doing is they were making to naught what Christ actually did, that when they would follow the Mosaic law that Christ came to fulfill, that Christ's suffering on the cross was of no avail. And so this was a distorted message that these teachers were trying to convince the people of. And the reason I chose this portion of Scripture this morning, we want to go on a little further in it and touch on it a little later on again, but to bring us to a point that we need to be spiritually awake, that we need to be very careful what we read, what we hear, what we allow to enter our hearts and minds and possibly change us without us really knowing. Before we continue, let us just begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning as we present ourselves before you, Lord God, we are so grateful for your love. Marvelous love. Wonderful love. Unconditional love. And Lord, you have extended your grace to us this morning, and we are so grateful for that. And Father, we praise your holy name because of that. It is only through your grace that we have gathered here this morning, and you saw it fit for us to come together as a congregation. And Lord, whatever you speak to us this morning, may we receive that with grace in our hearts, allowing it to change us, not just to get an understanding or an intellectual understanding of what you teach us, but that it may penetrate the heart and change us. And Lord, draw us closer to you. Father, we commit this hour to you. And we commit ourselves to you, Lord, so that you might speak to us and draw us closer and draw us nearer to thee, O God. And Lord, that we pray that you might help us understand the times that we are in and that you would give us wisdom so that we might sense what is truth and what is error. Father, we pray for your Spirit's leading this morning. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. We know the churches in Galatia had been founded on Paul's second missionary journey. And Paul had great concern over these converts or new believers, if you will. And he writes them a letter of concern. He writes them what's on his heart. He had presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knew that this group of people, they were a group of strong-willed people. And he also knew that there were teachers from the Jewish sect that would try to draw them back somewhat into the Mosaic covenant, simply to not let go of the law, not let go of the law, and receive grace at the same time. And so in verse 6 and 7, Paul says, and he begins with this way, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It seemed that in many of the churches, the moment he left, people with other doctrines would come in and kind of change that, what Paul had established. And Paul warns them, and he says, I marvel. Me wonder dort. Dat je zo schön dort verloren, wat juntas je leert worden. We know that many of the Jews had received Christ and now we're opening the door to incorporate Judaism and Christianity. Let's remember that these people, they were Jews. By nature, they were Jews. And that can't be changed. But their teaching, their doctrine had changed because of Christ came with a message of grace and not the law that came by Moses. And so we see two natures here. We see Christianity by grace, and we see Judaism by the law. And as I said, I share this message, this part of the message of Galatians, just to get us to the point that we want to draw out of this morning. You cannot mix other beliefs with Christianity and have Christianity remain strong. In the times that we are in today, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. We need to be very wise. We need to have our spiritual eyes open. What I have here is a glass of clear water. Jesus says, I am the well of fresh water. And friends, if we drink of it, it's good. It satisfies our thirst. But if we add some vinegar to this, You cannot see the difference. But what will it taste like? What we need to understand is we are in times where the enemy seeks to blind us from the truth. And there are so many mixed messages that are floating around. But the time has come where we need to understand what is truth and what is error. Paul says another gospel which is not a gospel at all. They were falling away from the grace of God. They were kind of going back to where they had been. And we look at this picture and we say, well, how is this possible? Having received the gospel of Jesus Christ and understanding and knowing, hearing that Christ came to fulfill the law, and they turn back. Isn't that a little bit like our nature is? We know that God hath delivered us from the bondage of sin by Christ's death on the cross. But you see, there is a nature in us that still wants to draw back to that, not quite let go. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with my own nature. And I want to encourage us, let's get into the Word of God. Let's get into truth and not error. It's really been on my heart as I see the days unfolding before us. I believe one of the greatest challenges the church is facing is to stand on the integrity of God's truth. And it must be weighed in the balance. We need to live, lead, and teach biblical truth without compromise. Without compromise. If we're willing to compromise, it's not going to be hard to please people, satisfy people. If Jesus had done this, he would have maintained huge crowds and avoided the cross. We read in John chapter 6, and I don't want to go through all of that because of time, but we read where Jesus spoke to his disciples. And there were more than 12, there were many disciples. And he talked about his suffering and in death. And he says, verily, verily, in verse 53 of John 6, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And many of them said, this is a hard saying. They looked at it from a physical standpoint, instead of understanding that this was a spiritual application. And then in verse 66 it says, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto them, will you also go away? Of course, had Christ not suffered and died, we would be lost. If he had done this, he couldn't have fulfilled God's purpose for life, for his life. And so the same goes for us. The same goes for you and for me. We can try to be so sensitive and careful, if you will, that we will not hurt anybody. That we will not say something out of God's word that somebody will be offended. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to praise men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ." By being so sensitive, by being so careful in quoting scripture, in quoting the truth, we compromise what God has in store for us. We know that darkness is advancing at a rapid pace. And we might say, when you look at the statistics, society in general, not all, but in general, is drawing further and further away from God. From the gospel of truth. But I want to ask us a few questions this morning. Is it possible to live in truth and walk in grace? Is it possible to live in truth and walk in grace? Yes, it is. But I can assure you, we will be an offense to somebody. To live in the world and not be defined by it. That's the example Jesus left us. To live in a world and not be defined by it. Scripture says that we are in this world but not of this world. And that's a difference. That's a difference. How do we stand fast in therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage, according to Galatians 5, verse 1. How do we do that? By studying God's word, by knowledge, understanding what God's plan is for us. We need to learn to live godly lives in an ungodly culture. It doesn't just happen. I have to apply myself. And friends, this morning, I'm the first to admit that I've come short of that many times. Living a godly life in an ungodly culture. We read in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem and took the best citizens as slaves. And in order to serve, they had to be taught a new language. They had to be indoctrinated into a new culture and literature of the Babylonians. In verse 5 it says, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of these, the end thereof, they might stand before the king." I don't want to go into that too much this morning, but we can see the picture here. Nebuchadnezzar chose these Hebrew boys to come and serve him. But the first thing he did is he taught them. We might say he brainwashed them. He reprogrammed them. The language, and just so that they would fit into the culture. And it says, "And the king appointed to them a daily provision of the king's meat and wine that he drank." Here was Daniel and his three friends. And they even gave them different names. Those names that they had were godly names. But the names that they gave these Daniel and his three friends were names that would direct them to praising the pagan kings, the pagan gods. So they were pagan names that they were given. But in verse 8, and I want you to keep in mind what it says here. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel says, I'm not going to compromise. I simply won't do it. This is where I stand. Friends, this morning I want to say to you, you know, when culture puts the pressure on us, let's remember who we are and whose we are, to whom we belong. They changed their names. They taught them for 3 years, indoctrinated them. But you know, heart, soul, and mind was connected to God. That's where you and I stand. I trust this morning that each one of us stands firm on that doctrine. If we do not understand the times we live in, there is great danger that we will be swept in with the culture. And I want to say this. Culture has an agenda. They do. And I'm sure that we're all aware of that. Culture wants to change our identity. It wants to make you believe something about you that isn't true. Many times to be accepted in culture. People become what culture wants them to be. See, then it's easy. And it's not an offense. But it's an offense to the cross. That's the work of Satan. When culture changes, that it always does, like I said before, we need to know who we are and to whom we belong. Daniel knew that. He didn't compromise. He said, I'm not going to do it. I mean, it's not very difficult to understand what he's saying. But sometimes we don't enjoy feeling the pressure of the outside world on us. We don't enjoy discussing some things that might offend or hurt somebody's feeling. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, don't expect everybody to be your friend, because it won't happen. Standing on truth, that is God's standard. That is God's standard. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus' his high priestly prayer. First he prays for himself, then he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for the believers in Christ. And I want to encourage us this morning, Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us. That's what the Bible tells us. But I want to read a few verses here in verse 6 through 19. This is where Christ prayed for his disciples, and he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I no more, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through truth. Through the truth. Jesus says in his prayer, don't take them out of this world, but equip them so that they can stand against the fiery darts of the enemy, so that they can make a difference. He says, the world, if they hate them, they will hate them because they hated me. And I can assure you that that is real. You stand up to the truth, and you'll soon find out that people don't appreciate you. Did they all appreciate Christ? No. Did Paul seek to please men? No. Paul wasn't concerned what men were thinking, but his heart was more, what does God see? To be faithful to God. He said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Without truth, we are corrupt, and without grace, we are condemned. Let's think about that a little bit. Without truth, we are corrupt, and without grace, we are condemned. It's only by God's grace that that door of salvation remains open to us, because it continues to cleanse us with Christ's blood. Without truth, we become worldly, and without grace, we become judgmental. That's the way it is. Without grace, we become judgmental. Grace invites us to be free, but the Bible says the truth sets us free. So there's a channel that Paul is explaining to the Gentile church, to the Galatian church. And I want to encourage us this morning not to compromise, not to twist the gospel so that it'll fit our livelihood. That we don't feel so uncomfortable. But let us be sanctified. That's what God's word does through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be sanctified, cleansed, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stay in touch with God and be enlightened by his Holy Spirit. Friends, this morning I want to encourage us to be a Daniel. Just simply say, I will not do it. I will not do it. We know that judgment has been pronounced on Satan, the son of perdition. But we still live in this time of grace. I want to turn back to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 8 through 10. And there Paul says, but though we, so he is talking about himself and his fellow brothers that are with him. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, and listen what it says, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which was we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says, let him be accursed. Then he goes on, he says, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, then that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. Friends, compromise is not an option in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not an option. Yes, we may change our method of how we present the message in an ever-changing world. That's okay. But we cannot change the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus and his saving grace remains forever. In Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. So be it. Amen. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning, in closing of this service, we are thankful for your word. Even so, sometimes it sure chips off the edges and it's painful in our souls and our hearts. But Lord, we know that when sanctification takes place, it purges us from the dross that is in there. And sometimes, Lord, we know that we need to be purged in order to cultivate a relationship with you that is more sincere, more genuine, that comes from the depth of the heart. Father, this morning I pray that as your word is spoken to me, I trust it will be spoken to everybody. And Lord, that your name may be glorified through it. Father, we don't enjoy conflict. We don't enjoy offense. But Lord, the example that you left us, where you even came to the point and you said, will you also follow? Will you also leave me? We know that was a hard, rugged road to walk. And you did it because of your marvelous love, your great love, your wonderful love towards us. Help us, Lord, never, ever to forget that. As we walk this journey of faith hand in hand in unity and peace, may this congregation and those around us, Lord, who have gathered this morning, be a light. And a light in an ever-changing world. A light that does not change. And may it reflect our lives. May we stand strong as Daniel did. Even though he was reprogrammed, he was given different names, him and his friends. Taught different languages. And when he was asked to receive the king's meat, he said, I'm not going to do it. I purpose in my heart. And Father, may that be at the tip of our tongue. I purpose in my heart to stand strong for you, to bring glory and honor to the one who extended his marvelous grace and love to us. Father, thank you for this time together. We pray your blessing upon our day and our lives. And Lord, then help us to be a blessing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I share the benediction, in closing, I have a few announcements to make here. And the first one is an application for membership. And the name is Rudy Giesbrecht. Address is Box 319, Kleefeld, Manitoba. Has applied for membership in the Zomerfeld Mennonite Church and has been visited by Cal Hebert, Reverend Cal Hebert, who recommended his acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact your local ministerial. And usually when somebody applies to join the church, there's two of us visiting. But when the marriage is intent, then there's usually just the one. And so that is the reason here. I would just ask Rudy to stand, please. Thank you. And then the next announcement is an announcement of intended marriage. The groom is Rudy Giesbrecht, whose parents are Peter and Katharina Giesbrecht of Kleefeld, Manitoba. The bride is Linda Bergen, whose parents were the late Peter and Tina Bergen of Paraguay, now lives in Niverville. These will be both members of our church. This announcement is made for the purpose that if any person has a valid reason to oppose this marriage, that it be done in time and thereafter forever hold their peace. And I would just ask the couple to stand, please. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to encourage you as a congregation to pray for this young couple. Pray that their relationship would draw closer together and that they can be servants in the church. As I've said in some previous messages, we all have a gift to bring, and so do they. Let's encourage them in their journey of faith. Let us close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord.